I was looking forward to a new Star Trek movie, but come on, this is a little weird.
Yeah, there were two stars from Deep Space Nine in there.
There were.
I guess that's technically true.
And there was also Geordi LaForge, if you count that clip of Root Station.
And Patrick Stewart is the narrator.
Oh my god, you're right.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, he wasn't the first one, so that wasn't a surprise.
Which proves my theory that somewhere Gene Roddenberry is alive and Seth MacFarlane has control over him.
The weirdest question for me, though, was like, okay, so clearly Seth MacFarlane is good friends with everybody on Star Trek. He works with them all the time. And the plot of Dead 2 is ultimately about trying to get, you know, a court case around whether or not this bear counts as human, and I'm like,
we already saw this episode.
Brent Spiner?
Well, just lift the dialogue from A Measure of a Man. Yeah. Just like lift it, and then have it be this really cool joke.
I did think that through this whole thing. I was like, oh my god, this is the worst fake lawyering I have ever seen in any fucking movie ever. And goddamn it, you have the voice of the Shawshank Redemption. What the fuck is wrong with you?
They showed a clip from Law and Order, and they didn't have anybody from Law and Order in the courtroom. Come on,
it's like a perfect opportunity for it.
Thought about that one, but yeah, I guess
I thought like they were gonna have like the evil lawyer as Sam Waterston. Would
Sam Waterston to show
yeah.
up.
That would have been perfect.
Yes, but no.
I think you are completely overrating the ability of Seth MacFarlane to write good dialogue for Sam Waterston.
Yeah.
Well, we are, of course, reviewing Ted 2. I'm Chris.
JC.
Elliot.
Bo.
Sarah.
And I think we have a certain degree of mixed reactions to this film, it sounds like. I'm in this corner. Bo and Sarah.
Put up your dukes.
In this corner, Elliot and JC.
Wait, Chris.
And me kind of in the middle.
So you got the judge, you got the plaintiffs, and you got the defendants.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Sidebar, I rest my case.
I want to be that guy who pushes the button on the lethal injection machine.
Well, Texas, they just draw a lottery.
Oh, that's anybody.
They're just like, who wants to do this, man?
That's Bubba.
In this story, following up the last one, where Mark Wahlberg's teddy bear, because of force of will, ends up becoming magically alive.
And somehow he does not magically end up in a government program, like somewhere deep underground, being probed.
He's going to be actually as a cameo in Independence Day, too.
Unlike Brent Spiner.
But, you know, it takes up where they're still buddies. Ted has gotten married to his girlfriend, strangely enough. Even though they comment right off the bat, look, he doesn't have a dick. He is actually a stuffed animal. It didn't change his anatomy, despite the fact that he can drink beer and smoke pot and get fucked up.
Don't ask questions, ever.
Don't ask questions. Yeah, sorry, I can't even be upset at a movie like this for being absurd like that, because you're like, it's an absurd premise to begin with.
But it's not the absurdity that's the problem.
Yeah, and in fact, sometimes it's the lack of absurdity.
Well, that's true. But so they decide, well, we want to have kids, but they can't, and everything they pass.
They realize that their marriage is miserable, so they try to save it by having a kid.
Always a great decision.
Always a great idea.
See, but how human is that?
Yeah. It's true.
That's a good point.
Because humans are dumb.
When they end up having to fall back on adoption, it raises some red flags. They're like, hey, this guy never should have been treated as a human anyway.
Because it's not.
Well, I don't know. I think I actually agree with the concept. If you can say, I want to be treated as a then you deserve rights.
I want to be treated as a sentient being. Yes.
Well, that's exactly what your cats are telling me right now. So.
Yeah, but that's the problem is that you're insane.
You can look at them and say, you don't have thumbs, kitty. Tough shit.
Neither does Ted.
You also smoked all that pot earlier, so that's going to...
If you can light a bong, you have thumbs.
Did you know that in this movie that they smoke a lot of pot? And that smoking pot makes them cool and fun?
That part actually is true. But
yes, but did the whole movie need to be about them smoking pot? It's like, we get it. We get it. Pot is fun. No one's going to argue with that.
And also, marijuana, as many of us know, makes you a really lazy writer.
Yes, exactly.
Oof, man, y'all coming out with some vitriol.
I don't know.
It's like, show me
off for Hunter Thompson.
Show me on the bear where this movie touched you. I want to know.
You know what? Seth MacFarlane always, like, comes off as more of a Coke type of person, so I don't get all the, these, like, I don't know, he's kind of, like, everywhere, bouncing
Well, he probably wants
down.
To do the coat jokes, but he's not allowed to by the ratings board.
They
he's
did
like,
one coat
do you
joke.
Think, do you think that Seth MacFarlane is Gilbert Gottfried?
Who played Iago?
Seth MacFarlane.
He probably could do a great voice of Iago.
Oh, yeah.
In his defense, he's almost flawless at impressions.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal at them. But
he doesn't like, do any of them
well, the
in
thing
this
is,
movie.
Like, this is... Ted 2 is basically a two-hour Family Guy episode. Make no mistake. It has all the same things. That the only difference is Seth MacFarlane doesn't have to do impressions of celebrities now. He just gets the celebrities to come in and do the jokes that would normally be the celebrity-based joke on a Family Guy episode. There's nothing inherently wrong with that, except I can't watch three or four Family Guy episodes in a row. Yeah. I can watch
it depends
one or two,
on what season.
I can watch
exactly.
one or two and go, okay, that's enough.
If this was first or third, you know, first to third season Family Guy, maybe not so bad. But he's definitely channeling, like, current Family Guy.
But not even. I mean, they had, like, cutaway jokes throughout this. So there is a plot, but there are also sort of half-assed cutaway jokes. But they don't go all the way because they can't, because it's a live-action movie, and they can't have, you know, Muhammad with a salmon hat, or whatever the South Park joke was. So it doesn't...
There was salmon.
There was a lobster. Oh, yes. there was a trout.
Wait, was it O Salmon Bin Laden? Because that's
so
funny. That is hilarious.
Oh, tell me banana.
So, like, I think the best jokes were the totally insane gags, but they didn't do too many of them.
I agree. Like, when they let themselves go off the rail, like, when they had the people yelling at each other and doing that, you know, and it was very ridiculous, it's like, okay, this is great, because you're asking me to do the whole live talking stuffed bear thing. Man, you know, put your foot on the pedal and hit the crazy button. I'm fine. I'm with you. Let's go. And then it keeps on getting drawn into, like, this maudlin, you know, kind of like, you know, bromance drama type of stuff that has been, A, done better by better people, and B, is, you know, one of the reasons that Family Guy has been so unwatchable lately. It's just like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to feel for these awful people, despite you trying to make me feel for them.
And you make a good point. Like, the thing I really didn't like with this movie, and I don't think this is a spoiler because it happens in the first 5 minutes, like, they reveal that, like, that whole plot in the first movie with Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Forget about her. She's gone.
Seth MacFarlane can get the entire cast of The Next Generation to show up, but he cannot get somebody who literally works for him.
Well, probably that's because Jupiter Ascending hadn't come out yet when they were casting for this. So he didn't know her career was taking a nosedive.
I think it was probably more to the point that she was as big as a house with somebody else's kid.
That's true. But then that could have been a side plot for the movie. Oh, look, he got his wife.
That's true.
Yeah. There you go.
But let's be honest, pregnant women can't act.
Just histrionic.
We all know that. Yes, it's just weeping and emotions
did it turn into the Honeymooners in here?
And apparently they split because she wouldn't smoke pot with him and she was trying to change him.
What a whore.
Wasn't the whole, like, movie about her accepting him for who he is?
Yeah.
I don't remember much from Ted the First. I was perfectly sober when I watched that movie, and I don't remember most of it.
A lot lately.
Yeah.
I think that, like, the first, you know, first act of this movie is actually up to par with the first one overall.
Yeah.
It's the same amount of hit to miss with the first movie or Family Guy, where you're like, oh, there's some genuinely funny stuff in this, and then some stuff that doesn't hit. But it falls away so fast, you're like, eh, whatever, there'll be something funny in a minute.
Yeah.
The problem really goes when it turns into a road trip movie,
yeah,
where it's like, oh, let's drive across from Boston to New York to...
It's 4 hours! It's 4 hours!
It took like 24 hours to get there, and I'm like, no, it's literally down the interstate. It's like driving from Austin
Listen,
to San Antonio.
I'm from Connecticut. I know it takes about 30 minutes to get across my state. So.
I thought for sure there was going to be a Muppet movie joke in there at some point. It felt like it was going
Come
that
to the
way.
Fork in the road.
Well, I mean, it did have Giovanni Ribisi as the guy saying, kill frogs. Basically. Yeah.
The road trip part of it did feel kind of very Family Guy-ish in that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we can't think of an episode this week, so we're just going to Brian and Stewie go out somewhere.
I'm choosing to believe that was all a dream sequence, because there's no way they could stumble with air quotes, upon a field of pot that big in and not be immediately get shot by whoever's growing it.
And it wouldn't grow in Connecticut, please. Exactly.
Actually, it'll grow almost anywhere. But
not when it's 20 degrees out in June.
It'll grow in the tundra.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know much about this marijuana. That all the kids are putting in their cigarettes.
Yeah, it did set up a really clever joke where Universal's like, we own the rights to this Jurassic Park music. No, we're don't fucking use it.
And there's, you know, and to be fair, Canada is just loaded with pot fields.
That's very true. But also, Connecticut is a piece of shit state that doesn't have anything, so I don't want to give it anything cool.
That's true. Damn. Connecticut's nice.
Why does Connecticut suck?
Or Canada's because nice.
I hate it.
Okay.
I thought we were just supposed to hate Arizona.
Anyway, Ted 2 sucked.
Well, I know. I can't even go there because there were some moments in here that really made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, there were some funny moments.
I mean, there was, and most of them were at the expense of celebrities. There's a really funny joke at the expense of Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah, she's in on it. That was funny.
She's in on it, and there's just a one-off remark about the singer from Aerosmith,
Steven Tyler.
And Patrick Warburton.
Spit out laughing.
Well, that was the same thing they did to Brandon Routh last movie, where they stopped the movie to insult Brandon Routh. He hasn't done anything to anybody.
Right. Well, that's, you know, that's one of the things.
He's a fucking Adam, dude. Leave him alone.
That's all old Seth MacFarlane bit. And honestly, those are usually, to me, some of his funniest bits. That unnecessarily cruel moments to a celebrity. You know, or just totally a celebrity doing something so absurd and out of character that it's funny. And there's a certain amount of that in here that works, but I think really the biggest bummer here is just that it just turns so fucking dour. This storyline about him trying to get rights, and it gets really, really depressing, and there's even a possible character death, and you're like, oh, for Christ's sake, movie, lighten up.
Yeah. They really, like, they have so many people tripping out, like, the most stoned bullshit nonsense when it comes to, well, what does it mean to be a person, and blah-de-blah-de-blah, and you're just like, oh my god, this is like Lord of the Rings for lazy writing. Just fucking wrap it up.
Yeah. I will say that, like, watching this movie as a lawyer and, like, watching, like, their arguments, I was like, you're not even...
You're not trying. There's moments and you're like, you understand that that's an immediately counterable argument.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait.
You should bring someone up to do your job.
He doesn't have a penis, therefore he's not human. I have a lot of women that we know that might argue with that. Or maybe vets who lost their genitalia in explosions or something like that.
Robot Ernest Hemingway certainly would agree.
That's true.
Would they even have a jury in this kind of...
No, that's it. It's a civil trial.
And they kept on...
Why would you bring a jury in? Yeah,
they're like, he's guilty, put him to death.
Well, you'd have to request it, but like... They go through such pains to, like, say it's a court case, but they don't get the terminology right at all. I mean, they don't even approach it. And just... I know she's a new attorney, but God, her arguments are shitty.
I mean, some of those things you guys are talking about, just, it didn't even bother me in the slightest because it's a movie about a talking stoner teddy bear.
Yeah,
I'm like, it's completely absurd, and those things aren't things that bother me.
But that's it, because they made a horribly half-assed attempt to make those things seem realistic. It's like, dude, if you want to do that, you need to go off the rails more for it. You need to have the like, a disco ball in the courtroom, and a judge getting up and disco dancing.
I was expecting the Kool-Aid
like
Man to burst in.
That'd have been great!
No, yeah, the wall is right there. You can just burst in.
You should have had Amanda Seyfried get stoned, and all of a sudden the jury is 12 platypi. That would have been fucking awesome.
I think you're right in the sense that, it feels weird to inject a serious story in the middle of this. And I think, like, Seth MacFarlane's like, you know what, let's tell something that is topical, but not just flat out say that this is about gay rights.
For the homos, right to marriage. Like he says.
And like, you know, let's tell that, and you're like, not as the plot of a movie about a stoner bear. That's just, I'm sorry, what were you thinking?
Have your teddy bear and touch it too.
I mean, I assume there was a way you could probably inject that into this, but keep it completely absurd and bizarre the whole time, but everybody's so afraid of offending anybody that you're like, well, we can't do that because they'll say we're not treating this issue seriously. And they're right too on that level, but it makes for a boring comedy.
That's true. No, go for it.
No, it sort of has the same problem that Harold and Kumar 2 had, that it's like, you got this stoner comedy, but then you want to go serious, and they went really political, and it's like, well, those really, you, that's not peanut butter and chocolate. That's like peanut butter and cheese, and just doesn't go together.
Mm.
You know.
Sorry, I smoked a lot of pot before we started recording.
No, you just saw.
Are you serious?
That's right. I feel high.
High people,
but bad high. I feel like clinging onto the wall high.
Remember, you like collard greens.
I don't like collard greens. Thank you for the stereotype. You never had.
You started with the white people thing.
I'm from Louisiana. Black people in Louisiana don't eat collard greens.
They are pointing at each other right now. Aggressively.
Although I did just see someone, a friend of mine, made a dinner with peanut butter okra, and I don't know what that
was.
Yeah,
no, that shit's good.
Yeah, peanut butter goes with anything.
Make your face like that.
You smoke enough.
Okra's already slimy.
Mayonnaise.
That's your friend, right?
After that sperm bank scene.
That was great.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple
that
of
was.
Those
and I'm not overly squeamish, but that was
cringeworthy. Well, the thing is, like, I usually can't stand in movies when they reduce to just the gross out, but I will admit the sequence with, like, in the sperm bank, which you can only imagine, which I'm describing as a gross out scene now, is pretty fucking funny.
That sequence in general and kind of everything they did with Marky Mark's character. Yeah, I didn't like how they... he was a semi-competent person in the first movie, and this one he's just a bumbling idiot throughout. Like,
and he was barely in... Like, he was just there in the first act. Like, he didn't really do anything. He didn't contribute anything, because it looks sad.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, why didn't Ted's wife, like, go on this road trip with him to go see the
lawyer? Because she's not a very interesting actress or funny.
Oh, right.
honestly, that's the truth.
I don't know.
Awesome. No, the only things I like about this, which I guess applies exactly the same to the first one, is the fact that the creepy stalker who wants everything Mark Wahlberg ever had is named Donnie.
Oh my god!
Yes!
I'm like,
yes!
Wow!
How did I not realize that?
How did I not see that?
It's like sure Chaz Palminteri.
You just blew my mind,
I'm
man.
I'm pretty sure Mark never picked that up either.
Try some more of this!
Oh my god.
Johnny Jarama.
This is the real story behind Entourage. Anyway, let's go to final thoughts and start with Elliot.
I actually really enjoyed it, although I feel like it peaked around 30 minutes before the movie ended, and then just sort of limped along with really, towards the end, really mean jokes that, you know, you can tell a mean joke and just sort of move past it, but they just kept going back to just jab, which I think is their primary audience. So, I mean, that bothered me, but I tell you one thing that was getting to me is Marky Mark is starting to age. That man was born in 71, and Siegfried...
Shut the fuck up!
I know, right?
Yeah, but I'm just she's like half his age.
Yeah, and it's just like, that's your 11? Like, I can see the wrinkles on his face. So, like, that you know, a lot of this about this movie really sort of bothered me, but I laughed a lot, so I can't give a bad rating to a movie where I laughed as much as I did. So I gotta give it 6.5 teddy bear dicks out of 10.
Ugh.
About...
Seth MacFarlane's been wearing thin on me for a while, and, you know, and that's just his TV series. You know, he seems to be stepping out into, you know, trying to make movies with you know, he's made three so far. Ted, this, and a thousand one hundred Ways to Die in the West.
A million Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah, and, you know... He is just so all the fuck over the place with these. He can't seem to pick a tone. You know, he never gets crazy enough for me or serious enough for me. The writing's sophomoric. I can't get into this. Even though there are definitely moments in this that I was laughing along and appreciating the joke, you know, right after something, an incident like that, something comes out of left field that makes me, that just takes me completely out of it. So, you know, hey, if you've been appreciating Seth MacFarlane thus far, go see this movie. You'll probably laugh. If, like me, the last couple of seasons of Family Guy have just made you want to peel the skin off your flesh, stay the fuck away. I give it a, let's see, I give it a, 3 spilled sperm donations out of 10.
You know, I was actually a big fan of the first one, and I didn't expect to be, because I also had faded interest in Family Guy. Like, I don't even... It's not even so much as I think it turned into a bad show. It's just... You can only keep that kind of shtick going on for so long before we're all like,
that's
okay,
true.
you can't be a one-trick pony your whole life. Try something else, because now it's just like, we get it. We see all the ticks. And I guess part of it is maybe the first one was like, wow, we're seeing Family Guy, but live action. That's kind of neat and different. that one also is just more consistently funny all the way through. It's more has a stand, you know, a pace that keeps up at the same level all the way through it. This one has just huge parts of it that just drag in the dirt. Like, oh my god, movie, what the fuck? Not just with slow plot-related court sequences, but also just points that should have been really funny and aren't funny at all. Like, having your third act of a Comic-Con sequence should have been, like, especially for Seth MacFarlane, who loves cameos and loves geeky stuff, that should have been the high point of, like, all the biggest jokes he was saving, but it felt like he was totally out of steam at that point when we got there. That being said, there were some moments that really made me laugh. At least three or four times, laugh out loud really hard, and I can't take that away from this movie, that there are, it is punctuated with points that will genuinely give you some belly laughs. I am going to give this 5 out of 10 times I regret accusing Elliot of liking collard greens.
No. No movie, no. It was, I laughed the least out of all of us. I was kind of keeping tabs. Chris, you laughed exactly 14 times. No, I'm kidding. I did not. I'm not that anal.
Little counters her abacus.
There were, like, jokes that I'm going to remember and think are really funny. There was a part with Patrick Warburton, which I wanted to, like, stand up and cheer, because, well, I don't want to spoil anything, but it was pretty awesome. And, yeah, it was just not good. There was no flow to it in terms of tone, in terms of plot. The editing was bad. Like, Ted would be on one side of the room and then he was on another. Like, his voice was in different areas. I don't know. It was weird.
Are you saying they ADR'd Ted?
So at the very beginning, during the credits, they have a musical number with Ted, like a 1950s.
Which you'll forget by the end of this movie.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, if Ted were a puppet or a Muppet, this would be impressive. But he's just, like, digitally added in there. So I, like, zoned out and I was thinking of other things. And that happened a lot throughout this movie.
How much cooler would it have been if this was with the guys from Supernatural?
a thousand times cooler, in a sperm bank?
Even she's not sure about that one. She's like, I don't know.
Let me
a few more seasons, they might end up in one.
That's true. They're running out of...
Oh, yeah. The sperm ghost. It's
a vampire sperm. Vampire sperm.
Is his name Mark Shepard, the guy that's in every sci-fi show that's on Castle? Oh,
yeah. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
He just shows up out of nowhere.
Why are we talking about this?
The X-Files.
I don't want to, like, put that with this movie. Yeah. You know what? The thing is, I like Mark Wahlberg, and I don't know why. Like, I've never really seen a movie that I've really liked with him, except for maybe Pain and Gain. But
you like Boogie Nights?
I actually haven't seen that.
Two Guns?
So I'm uncultured, and I don't know comedy. But, like, he was just there in the movie. Didn't do much. He didn't say much. He didn't say anything funny. Didn't do anything funny. It was pointless having him in there. It's like, if they were going to get rid of one person, just get rid of Mark Wahlberg. So I'm going to give this film -3 Mac Wahlbergs out of 10 Mac Wahlbergs.
Good lord. JC?
My god, you guys are downers. I don't know where the other guy went, but I am Boston Rob, and these are my final thoughts on Ted 2. This masterpiece belongs in the upper echelon of cinema, right up there with other classics from this year like Entourage, Poltergeist, and The Longest Ride. I just love Nikki Sparks. This movie had it all. A fucking talking teddy bear, Marky Mark Wahlbergers, and Boston's favorite son, Touchdown Tommy Brady. Speaking of cinematic classics, Touchdown Tommy turned in a grandiose performance for the ages, and I'm saying right here and now to start the campaign for our boy Tom to be presented with the Academy Award for Best Actor, which, coincidentally, would happen right after the Pats repeat as Super Bowl champions for the fifth time in his illustrious career.
Deflate your expectations.
And I know what you're thinking. He wasn't even in the movie for that long. But if the freaking Catwoman can win an Oscar for singing a sappy song after shaving her head in The Miserables, Tommy can win a statue for showing off his glowing junk in Ted 2. All in all, Ted, too, is on the fast track to knock off that silly dinosaur movie from the top of the box office. I mean, honestly, how hard is it to shoot a dinosaur in the freaking head? You know who could make that shot? Tommy Brady. And he could do it while riding a raptor, riding a motorcycle. Anyways, I give Ted, too, a perfect 10 out of 10, just like Tom's perfect eyes and Tom's perfect face. Wait, what?
I don't know how to top that. That was better than the movie.
That was better that than the movie.
I laughed more than that stupid fucking movie.
Watch out, that movie's behind you, Sarah.
Oh my god!
That movie's been dead since 1935.